You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is a shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today, Mike Dobbs, Managing Editor with the Reminder Newspapers. And joining us for the first time, Susan Bigelow, columnist with CT News Junkie. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This week, the U.S. Supreme Court finished up its session with a flurry of decisions, one of them a 5-4 ruling saying it's unconstitutional to force public employees to pay any money to a union. This drew an angry response from organized labor in Massachusetts and elsewhere. Steve Tolman, the head of the AFL-CIO in the state, says the ruling is an attack on the rights of workers.
No court case, not a wealthy special interest behind it, nor the Trump administration who filed an amicus brief in favor of this outcome, can stop working people from sticking together to improve our jobs and to strengthen our communities.
Mike, kind of taking a look at the big picture, is this one or another Supreme Court ruling from the past week especially relevant to New England?
It's very interesting. So I actually did a little research on this, and this came out of an Illinois issue. And Illinois is facing huge deficits, and the monies that are being paid out to union employees were part of that deficit, supposedly. So really, this was seen sort of as a union-busting kind of ploy. The analysis I read was that even with this decision, it would take years for the state of Illinois to actually recoup enough money for it to affect their deficit. So I really think that what we're seeing is just out-and-out union bashing and trying to weaken the idea of collective bargaining.
Susan, is this one decision particularly relevant to New England, or is there something else or another development with the court that New Englanders should be particularly interested about?
Well, I think we can probably talk a little bit about Justice Kennedy's resignation. Certainly, New Englanders are going to be very worried about this. Everyone that I've talked to seems to be concerned that some of the rights that have been granted federally, like same-sex marriage and abortion rights, are now very much in doubt because everyone is assuming that President Trump is going to appoint a very conservative justice.
In recent weeks, we've talked about some of the state primary elections coming up in Massachusetts in September, but before then, Connecticut will have its primaries on August 14th, including for governor. There's a pair of Democrats and 5 Republicans vying to replace Governor Daniel Molloy, who is not running for re-election. Susan, the ballots were recently finalized. How do you size things up?
Well, on the Democratic side, you have Ned Lamont, who is a very nice guy, who is also kind of coasting along right now. He's mostly famous for his 2006 defeat of Joe Lieberman in a primary. He doesn't excite people quite a lot. He's running against Joe Ganim, who is actually a convicted felon. He is the mayor of Bridgeport. When he was previously the mayor of Bridgeport, he was convicted on corruption charges and actually sent to jail. And then he actually won his seat back after that. He is actually hustling very hard. He's not someone to be underestimated. So it's possible that we could see a surprise there. On the Republican side, there are 5 candidates vying for this open seat, and there really is no front runner. Danbury Mayor Mark Boughton got the endorsement of the convention, but that is essentially meaningless for your average Republican voter. It could be any one of these 5, including several rich self-funders. 2 of them, Bob Stefanowski and David Stemmerman, are both very wealthy self-funders who have been churning out commercials. So it really is up in the air as to who's going to emerge in August.
Mike, Democrats hold a 9-seat majority in the General Assembly in Connecticut, but the Senate is split right down the middle, 18 on each side of the aisle. Depending on how things go, could Connecticut be in for a large shift in lawmaking?
Well, I'm no expert on Connecticut politics, but I will say that I think if you've got this kind of gubernatorial field, you are going to get voters turning out. Looking at the amount of backlash against Governor Molloy, I would wonder if Connecticut voters will decide that they want to take the Republican path when it comes to their legislature. It would not be surprising to me if that's what they did.
And speaking of voter turnout, this week in Massachusetts, the House passed an automatic voter registration bill. If you interact with some state agencies, such as the Registry of Motor Vehicles, under the bill, you would be registering to vote unless you opt out. The bill now moves on to the state Senate. Mike, supporters say it could add up to 700,000 people to the rolls and could increase turnout by about 5%. Do you buy that?
I think that anything that we can do to encourage people to vote is a positive. And if going to City Hall to register is something that has held someone up, if they can register through this vehicle, this means, that's great. Whether or not it actually produces more people at the ballot box, I'm not sure. But I think that getting people registered is a very positive thing.
Susan, unlike in Massachusetts, Connecticut allows people to register to vote on Election Day. What do you think about all of these efforts to get more people to the polls, and will they have much of an impact?
Well, we didn't see necessarily much of an impact from the same-day registration. People were hoping to see a big boost in turnout, and it certainly does help. It doesn't hurt at all, but there really has not been that big boost that people were hoping for. There have been efforts to try and change the state constitution to allow people to be registering right up until the day of the voting, for people to vote if they are turning 18 before in primaries, before the general election. Also to submit absentee ballots with no fault, to submit votes by mail. None of this has actually come to fruition, unfortunately. So anything we can do, I agree, anything we can do to increase turnout and make voting easier, we should do. But right now in Connecticut, it's kind of stalled.
And finally this week, the Hartford Line commuter rail service between Springfield, Hartford, and New Haven has been up and running for a few weeks now. And both of you have had the chance to try it out. And you also wrote about your experiences. Susan, I'll start with you. What did you like and what might need some work?
So it's great to have the service. Opens up the valley in a whole new way. It connects Massachusetts and Connecticut. It is nice to have increased train service and affordable train service. It's much, much cheaper now to get to New York City, which is something a lot of folks in Connecticut care about. However, service north of Hartford is very sparse. That partly has to do with the fact that there is no double tracking north of Windsor. Right now, there are only a few trains that come and go. I have tried to commute with it down from my home in Enfield to East Hartford. It takes an hour and a half to get there, and the times are not particularly convenient. So I'm hoping to see an increase in service soon.
Mike, how about you?
Well, I was one of the 20, 30,000 people decided to ride it on the free weekend. My experience was positive insofar as the train left Springfield on time. I went down to Hartford. The train coming back from Hartford was not on time, and it was an Amtrak train. They only had two cars, and everyone stood. They completely underestimated the demand that opening weekend. I think that it's a tremendous step forward. I think it's great. I think it's 12 trains a day serving Springfield. My biggest concern is the fact that the state of Connecticut bought used MBTA cars without functioning restrooms. That was not smart. And I've been told that they're not going to have functioning restrooms until next year. I'm hoping that does not prevent people from using the service, though.
All right, Mike Dobbs of Reminder Newspapers and Susan Bigelow with CT News Junkie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist and NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.